These NBA playoffs have been fun, haven't they? If you're not watching, well, you're crazy, because you're either going to get a fight, you're going to get some competitive games. All right, you're going to get some blowouts. It's going to happen. This is what happens over a long series. But, you know, for anybody that has a problem with, you know, a lack of competitiveness or guys liking each other too much in the NBA or whatever these other cliches you want to throw out there, watch these playoffs if you're not, because it's been a very, very different story. Chris Miles of NBA TV jumps on with me now. My pal, my friend, we go back, buddy. And I will tell you this, these have been some really good NBA playoff games overall. And I'm noticing a trend where it does just, it's starting to feel like, you tell me if you see anything different, but it does kind of feel like we're getting to the point where we're starting to see some young rivalries budding a little bit in the NBA, and really an area where the NBA has kind of lacked consistent rivalries over the last few years.
Yeah, Hollywood, that's absolutely what's happening. I mean, look, the Thunder and Spurs, I don't know if you know this. I followed the Spurs around this season. That's as real as it gets. And there's one that's budding that people don't know about yet, and that's Minnesota in San Antonio, right? It's like one where I'm like, oh, this is bad blood right now, but they haven't played in marquee matchups. So if it's the Wolves and the Spurs in a playoff series, you're going to see it. And, like, Portland isn't good enough yet for it to be a rivalry with San Antonio, but you see that. Denver, Minnesota is a real bloodbath, right? And we're starting to see it now, like, is Orlando and Detroit developing into that? I tell you what, if Orlando wins the series, it will be. So I just think the game has been more physical the last 3 years, and I've been telling people that. You're not watching enough if you're saying no one plays defense, because they're allowing these guys to play defense, and now I think it's boiling over a little bit, and I like it.
Now, you've been, yeah, covering the Spurs this entire year or two with FanDuel Sports Network, and I see a Spurs team that's like a year or two behind where the Thunder were, where it's, you know, young, developing, growing, get to the playoffs, but got to go through those learning experiences in the playoffs. Now, yes, they won a ton of games this year. Yes, they have Wemby. Maybe it's a different story, but when I look at the Spurs, I see all the talent in the world, and I see a rivalry that could be with the Thunder, Chris, for like the next 10 years. But I do worry that that inexperience is going to pop them in the face at least this year in the playoffs. Do you see a team that could kind of bypass that a little bit? I'm talking like, you know, second round exit, or, I mean, they're so talented, it's hard for me to say that, but we've seen this even with, you know, the Thunder. The first year they won 57 games and, you know, first seed in the Western Conference before they won the title. They lost in the second round. Like, we see that so often where you need to gain that resume in the playoffs a little bit. Is that something that this Spurs team is going to have to do as well, or is it just the point where, like, Wemby changes the whole dynamic for them?
I'm going to say it this way. Not Wemby, De'Aaron Fox.
Okay.
Because he's been through those battles.
True.
And during the regular season, you remember Victor Wembanyama was out a lot, then he was on a minutes restriction. Like, they didn't go nuclear until Wemby was back full time at the end of January. You know, everybody's like, oh, look at how they ended the season. Well, Wemby was playing like 22 or 23 minutes a game before that. They had him on a minutes restriction. He was sitting out a lot. And that's why he was like, he almost missed the awards, right? All of those things happened. So I'm saying this to say they were still a top four team in the West with Wemby missing all of that time. And they were winning big games without Victor Wembanyama on the floor. The reason they were doing that is because De'Aaron Fox, in clutch moments, the guy that won Clutch Player of the Year in 2023, went through the battles in Sacramento. He's kind of galvanizing the group in that way. So I think with him being on the roster, that to me is be like, oh, okay, this is how you skip that step if you do win a championship. Even though I'm completely in the same mindset that you're in, that like, hey, they probably have to lose earlier in the playoffs before they win a championship. But last year I was like, yeah, well, the Thunder haven't been to a Western Conference Finals. Like, I'm going to pick Denver or Minnesota, right? So, like, I think the Spurs can. I don't think it's likely they win the championship.
Well, the Nuggets did almost beat the Thunder in the second round. It did go seven games. You were almost there. You're almost
there. I mean,
right.
if Aaron Gordon doesn't get hurt, the Nuggets win that series.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, I get it.
And if Tyrese Halliburton doesn't tear his Achilles, like, the Pacers are the champions.
How about that curse of the number zero, by the way? I mean, geez, it's just everybody with the number zero is tearing their Achilles in the playoffs.
I tell you what, if my kids try to put on a number zero, and they're like, look, Gilbert Arenas is not a good role model, and you are not, when there's too many Achilles being torn. Take that off. Number zero's out of here.
Talking to Chris Miles here on The Fan. I think we knew LeBron might have been due for a looks worn out type of game, right, after putting up 45 minutes in that Game 3 win for the Lakers. Look, they're still up 3-1. They've got a massive cushion. What LeBron James has been able to do, minus that Game 4, I'm just going to put that aside given all of the circumstances there. Chris, what LeBron James has been able to do at 41 years old with the Lakers missing their top two scorers and Luka out and Austin Reeves out, it is absolutely incredible to me and should be a big, I know it's a first round series, but it should be a part of his story, a part of his legacy. I think it's just another example of how just unique and incredible and physically gifted and how he's just built differently than everybody else to be able to do what he did through those first three games to really, man, give the Lakers a shot to now get Austin Reeves hopefully back and then maybe Luka in the second round. They should beat the Rockets. You better not blow a 3-0 lead. And then we'll start talking about this Lakers team actually being able to maybe make a little noise in the playoffs.
The craziest part of everything you just said is LeBron had back-to-back games with 8 turnovers, and if he doesn't poke that ball from behind on Reed Shepard, this is a 2-2 series, yeah, right? And if I'm the Rockets, my mindset is they're old, they're worn out. Let's make history and win 4 in a row. Like, that's how, if I'm a Amen Thompson, I'm looking at them like there's no way I'm losing to them, right? That's the first part. Now, let me get back to the question you're asking about LeBron James. Look, the above the rim stuff, him playing all those minutes, I'm already like, I can't believe it. But that's still on Reed Shepard. To think that he still can get that low that quickly and make a – that's a young man's play.
Yeah.
That's something when you're younger and faster than people, you do all the time. Once you get older, you just stop doing stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't think people really understand. Like, they think that's an old man move. That's not. That's a young man, I'm faster than you move. And quicker hands. And Reed Shepard was going full speed. He wasn't, like, hesitating. I just think that's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen from an old dude in any sport. It would be like if Tom Brady pump faked, you know, when he was in his 40s and, like, hurdled someone and ran for, like, a 40-yard touchdown and outran everybody. You'd be like, what did we just see? That's what it's more equivalent to than, like, Tom Brady winning when he's older. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
it's not just that he's on the floor. It's that, like, he's doing things that are young people things to do.
All right, we got the Magic with an early 6-0 lead over the Pistons. I know it's really earlier in that game, but that series to me, man, like, it's crazy because what we've seen from the Pistons and how physical they were during the regular season, and when Cade Cunningham got hurt, I mean, I looked at the usage rate and how important he was to that offense and thought, oh man, the Pistons might fall off without Cade Cunningham. They were able to maintain a lot of that pace until he came back, but now we're watching a Magic team that's just, I mean, it's like they woke up in that play-in, you know, game against the Hornets, and now they're basically out-physicaling, if that's a word. I'm going to say that's a word. The Pistons and kind of beating them at their own game right now, and they're up 8-0 now.
So I've said this probably 1,000 times to friends the last couple of days, and I'm like, you know, the Detroit Pistons essentially snatched Orlando's chain, right? Like, the Orlando Magic the last 3 years were like, oh, they're going to be that team in the East, and then, like, the Knicks stepped up. And, you know, it was, like, right after the Celtics won, it was like, hey, Orlando Magic are coming. Look at their roster. And then they just didn't do it. And, like, guys kept getting hurt. Then they traded for Desmond Bane. You're like, Bane and Suggs, that's a defensive juggernaut with Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Like, this is a really good team. And then they, like, folded. And even in the play-in, they lost and fell to the 8th seed. My point is, someone from that group has always been hurt. And I mean, like, Anthony Black was hurt after looking really good as a most improved player prospect, as a, you know, sixth man of the year candidate. He got hurt. Franz Wagner got hurt. Well, for the first time, and I can recall however long, the Magic got their whole team. Like, everyone in their group is healthy. And I'm like, yeah, I would take, after Cade Cunningham, I would take, like, the next 3 or 4 guys from the Orlando Magic before I take someone from the Pistons. So I think we're seeing that play out in the series.
Talking to Chris Miles here on The Fan, Knicks and Hawks tied at 2. It's been a lot of drama around the Knicks, as expected at this point. Look, I'm going to kind of just leave the floor to you at this point because you and I have certainly texted on a lot. Look, there's a lot going on with this Knicks team between Mikal Bridges and Mike Brown as the head coach and rumors swirling around him. And, you know, if they were to lose this series to the Hawks, man, after firing Tom Thibodeau and getting in the Eastern Conference Finals last year, I'm not going out on a limb, I assume, saying things are going to change within that organization in some capacity.
So there's a number of things. One, Finn is attending a lot of Hawks games, and, you know, it's crazy because a guy I played basketball with is high up in the front office with the Hawks. They've been talking to them about all these moves, knowing when they're coming, before they're coming, all of these things. And it's like you got to look at it after Martin Luther King Jr. Day, right? Like right around that time, the culture changed so much with that team, and they became defensive-minded and tough. And then Jonathan Kuminga came in, and it was like they just stole this player, right? Like you just stole a guy who is like trying to prove himself and trying to get paid. And you know this contract year player, like Kuminga is one of those guys. C.J. McCollum is a contract year player. So I think it's like all coming together, but having said all of that, the Knicks have the experience together as a unit, and I think you saw that in game 4. Like Karl Anthony Towns, he had 10 assists. So I think the Knicks do pull out this series, but the Hawks, they were fifth in the East. This isn't like a 1-8 matchup. I think that, you know, this time next year, we should be looking at them as one of the teams that are highly competitive in the East all season.
Well, as I've liked to tell people, they got better after they traded Trae Young, too. I'm just saying. Is anybody that wants to get real excited about Trae Young?
That's the thing. Look, they gained their identity when Trae Young was out. And then when he was traded away, they solidified their identity. They're Jalen Johnson and Nikhil Alexander-Walker's team. But as long as Trae was around, that was up in the air, and I think those guys played with another level of confidence without him around.
It's just interesting how we see that sometimes, where some player is such a polarizing star, or there's a spotlight, or there's just a high usage rate, or whatever the case is, and sometimes it's more of a, you know, it is finding a level of more of a balanced team, and just kind of figuring out what that looks like. Talking to Chris Miles here on The Fan. Thunder and Suns later tonight. I kind of feel like this series is over. I mean, we know how good the Thunder are at this point. Are we looking at a team in the Thunder that's just, I mean, is this just a dynasty that's just going to be rattling along the train tracks without any stop for like the next decade? Because they got a million other draft picks that people still aren't talking about. Like, this team is just going to keep reloading, I feel like, for the next decade.
Yeah, I feel like with the Thunder, it's really important that they pay the right guys. Like they paid Chet Holmgren, they paid J-Dub, and now Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's contract's going to kick in. So now you got to make decisions in other places. So like all of these draft picks and like, you know, Nikola Topic being a guy that they can wait to develop, and then, you know, trading for Jared McCain, like all of these things, they're going to lose guys one by one. So are you picking the right players? And when you have all these draft picks, are you drafting the right guys that fill the holes that you're going to need? If they're able to do that, which is a very difficult task, yes. And then how long is the second apron rule going to be in effect? Mm-hmm. Because it's a crushing blow to teams that have done their homework and done a good job drafting and getting the right players. I just don't know if it's the right salary cap solution for the NBA long term. Because you penalize teams for being really good for a long period of time, which is nonsensical. So I think if the second apron salary cap goes away, then I think they're going to have an even longer run, just like I would say the same thing with the Celtics with Tatum and Brown.
I mean, it's just as well-run of a front office as there is in sports, period, with the Thunder. What do you think of the lottery going to 18 teams? It looks like that might be the direction the league goes.
I think it's a mess in general, but I have a solution that I'm like, I would love to see this, right? And I think the plan seems like it's been successful. It's been good, but I think there should be an extra incentive and award. I think the team that finishes seventh Like, you know how they fight for the 7-8 spot? Mm-hmm. I think the team that finishes 7th in the standings should get a higher percentage of lottery odds, right? Hmm. I think the teams that finish 8th should do the same. And I think 9 and 10 should get the odds that you typically, like, all of those odds should go higher. Like, so instead of teams that finish 15th in their conference, you should flip-flop it. All those odds go 7, 8, 9, 10. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
In that order. So teams don't want to finish 15th. They want to finish 7th. And the front office is like, hey, if you don't win, heads are going to roll. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of like, let's try to lose every game. So like, I'll give you an example. If you're the Wizards this season and you make these moves, you're like, we have to get to 7th. We've got to do it. All right, Trae Young, you got to get out there. Anthony Davis, you got to get out there. Sar, man, we got to have you on the floor late in games. And then you get to 7th and now you get like, and you higher odds, and maybe you get the first pick in the draft. Whereas if you finish dead last, you know what? You get those odds that we're giving now, you know, like the 7th or 8th seed. And if people are like, oh, but then you keep that team perpetually down? No, because then their salary cap situation should be good enough where they can make moves to try to rise. Like, I think that's what we should do.
What about teams that can't get anybody in free agency, though? Because there are some organizations.
No, you need the trades.
Yeah.
There's always this disgruntled. There's no free agency is. Like, it's been a decade. What are we talking about? The last hot, like, oh, free agents are moving in free agency that moved the needle for you was 2019. I've worked it every year.
Yeah.
You may get a couple of guys move, but what you're talking about, the Paul George and Kawhi Leonard together deal, one was still a trade. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. those are trades. So the trades are still going to happen, and that's what I think of it.
All right, before you go, you're a Giants fan. You like the Giants draft?
So here's the thing. I had the privilege of watching the NFL draft the same night as the Hawks and Knicks game with Cam Newton and his cronies.
Look at you, you and name dropper. You are such a name dropper.
It's on my Instagram, bro.
I know it is. Even... Of course it is.
But what I'm saying is, I'm like, hold on. I'm not an expert in the draft at all. But didn't the Washington football team, 2 picks beneath us, get the guy we should have picked, Sonny Styles?
Yeah, you guys passed on Sonny Styles. And I know you threw a little jab in there because you know I hate Washington football team and you still love to say it. So you are trolling me right now just by doing that. I know what you're doing. Yes, you guys passed on Sonny Styles, though, which was great because I was praying Sonny Styles fell to the Commanders at 7. And that's how it worked out. But you had pick 5 and 10. You know, you go... Listen, here's the thing. John Harbaugh is going to make the Giants a team that's actually respectable. That's what pisses me off, is that he's actually going to make those guys, make that organization, I think, a lot more mature than what it's been over the last few years.
And that's where I'm like, I just have to trust it. But the last time I said that about the Giants, it was like, oh, I guess the Saquon Barkley move, I just have to trust this. Right? So it's hard because, like, wait, what are we doing here? What is happening? What is going on? And then, you know, I watched Hard Knocks before. It was all over social media. And I'm like, this is not what happened. No, they didn't. There wasn't some kid that told him you got to pay Saquon and you don't pay him. Like that. I'm just like, come on, man. This is Three Stooges kind of stuff. Like, what's happening here? So I'm just hoping that it's a new era because it's been like 11 years since there's been respect on my team's name.
Well, if you want to talk about a team that has a lack of respect, as my team has had 3 names and no respect, trust me, buddy, it takes a while to get out of that. Magic also up 19-7 on the Pistons now, so that game's already going the Magic's way. So there's
this is
that.
What, you know, and I got to say this to people, like with the Orlando Magic, they're not an 8 seed. You know, they're just not. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're up by, yes. This is what we should expect. And for the Pistons, they need to go do what the Magic did now. Like, they got to get other guys outside of Cade Cunningham that can score the ball.
They've got some talent on that Pistons team, but it's clear they are getting smacked in the face by the Orlando Magic right now. Chris Miles, good to talk to you again, buddy. Glad you got to hang out with Cam Newton.
All right, Hollywood. And I wouldn't recommend hanging out with Cam Newton too long. He's a little different.
I'll see you, buddy. There he goes. Chris Moss. I feel like we need to make him Hollywood now, though. He's the one hanging out with, you know, Cam Newton and putting it all over social media anyway. Cooper Flagg also just won NBA Rookie of the Year over Con Knipple. For those that care, I think we kind of knew that was going to happen. A lot of hype around Cooper Flagg. That's an interesting theory from Chris about flopping the odds completely so teams are pushing for the 7 and 8 seed. Would not have helped the Wizards. But again, we don't want those lottery odds changed now. Thankfully, they didn't do it. There were some worries it was going to be like before this draft, which would have, everybody would have lost their minds if that was the case. Nick Ashew on the Fan. So remember what everybody thought George Pickens was going to sign his franchise tender with the Cowboys? Looks like that's not going to be the case after all. Adam Schefter now saying that he wants a long-term deal, and if he doesn't get it, he wants a trade. It's not going to be one of those like, yeah, let's just work this thing out long-term. If you ever, there is nothing that is more predictable than Cowboys drama with somebody's contract year after year after year. Man, I was talking about this all last week, and I kept getting tweets from people that were like, oh, it's going to be fine. George Pickens is going to sign that franchise tender. Everything's going to be good. It's different now. Is it? It's exactly the same. It's exactly the same in Dallas. I'm telling you, I keep thinking this. The Commanders are the least dramatic team in the NFC East right now. You know what? I'll even throw the number out there if you think I'm crazy. 800-636-1067. Can you think of any drama other than stuff that's on the field with the Commanders right now? Seriously, 800-636-1067. Chris and I can't figure it out. We can't. I mean, there's stuff on the field, right? There is the general just like, hey, you got to figure out what your wide receiver rotation is going to look like, or got to get some help still to corner. That's normal football stuff. That's not drama. Think about this for a minute. You've got Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, and obviously always Nick Sirianni with the Eagles. That's drama right there.
Would you say the Brandon Ayuk thing is drama? It's more
no,
49ers,
no.
Right?
It's drama with the 49ers. Yeah. It's nothing with the Commanders. See, that's the thing. If they bring him in, they're not going to trade for him. He's a free agent. He's going to want to show that everything that happened was the 49ers' fault. If he's smart, I mean, he doesn't have to, but if that's the case, then it's drama-free. Last year it was Terry McLaurin and his contract, and there was a level of that, but it felt inevitable that it was going to get done. I cannot think of one thing that is beyond normal football questions that the Commanders have going on right now. Every other team in the division has drama surrounding somebody, because even the Giants, it was Dexter Lawrence wanting a trade. They traded him. Now it's Kayvon Thibodeau. We're not going to trade him. Yes, you are. We all know you're going to do it, because you already did it with Dexter Lawrence, and John Harbaugh has come in and punched the biggest guys in the yard and said, I'm captain now. That's what's going on. It's unbelievable. Like, I keep thinking about this. I'm like, what in the, like, it's a weird spot to see with this team. Now, it doesn't mean that the Commanders don't have questions. It doesn't mean that the Commanders are just going to win the division. But what it does at least tell you is that it's about football with this team. And I would much rather the questions about this team be about football than be about something stupid like Jerry Jones is dealing with, again, with the Cowboys and George Pickens. I mean, it's every year with the Cowboys. It's every damn year that this team has drama with somebody's contract, and it goes so far above and beyond normal negotiations. Guess what? There are always going to be contract negotiations and battles, and people are going to get their feelings hurt. That's why you have agents, why you have all this, so you don't have to have those conversations. But even Stephen Jones has come out and said that it's not easy having two receivers paid at the top of the market with CeeDee Lamb already locked in for them. It makes sense. And they're also factoring in the, quote, newness of the relationship with Pickens after a year. The newness. That's like when one person thinks that they're in a serious relationship and the other person says, introduces them as their friend, right? This is my friend Kim. Wait, we're friends? What? That's when you know, right? There's your sign. Look, George Pickens is so volatile, and he's incredibly talented. I mean, he had 93 catches, almost 1,500 yards, 9 touchdowns. I mean, he was really good last year. And I hate to say, but that Cowboys offense is really good. They've got a lot of talent there. But there's always something that holds this team back. Look, there's a reason why. There is a reason why nobody wanted the Cowboys head coaching job. Brian Schottenheimer was plan Z for the Dallas Cowboys. Plan Z. Really. They were trying to talk to so many other coaches. Nobody wanted. Because there's a certain point where you go, why? Why do you want the headache and the lack of control and say and just constantly getting stepped on by Jerry Jones or Stephen Jones? And look, Stephen Jones is not the same as Jarrah. It's still goes to Jerry Jones first.
You get paid a lot, though.
You get paid a lot, but you can get paid a lot coaching a lot of teams in the NFL. And even the argument of like, well, there's only 32 jobs in the NFL, and you can also wait a year. Like, Ben Johnson could have gotten jobs, head coaching jobs, for three straight years. He waited, and he may have made the right choice in Chicago. It's only 1 year, but we'll see. So, yeah, you get paid a lot there. But, I mean, what's Brian Schottenheimer getting? I don't know. I mean, he's not one of the higher paid coaches. Brian Schottenheimer salary.
I mean, Dallas, though, they are one of the, like, premier teams always on primetime and whatever.
Yeah.
Everybody's it's like the Lakers. You know, everybody's always talking about what's going on in Dallas. And if you want your name to become a household name nationwide, they're one of the teams that can do that, you know?
I mean, but now everybody can see everybody on TV. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I get that the Cowboys are a brand, but the Cowboys are also a brand and known for, like,
the casual fan has no idea who the coach of the Browns is right now or whatever.
Well,
you know, but
it's because nobody wanted to be a coach of that team either.
I'm just saying, though, but Dallas, there's a certain recognition that goes along with that gig, you know?
I would love to poll casual NFL fans and see how many can name both Brian Schottenheimer and Todd Monken as the head coach of the Cowboys and the Browns. I bet not many. Like, I bet right now very few people could tell you who the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys is outside of Dallas. I bet you there's very few, honestly. And that's the point, is like the Cowboys, yeah, used to be that premier organization where even if there was the drama, there was still at least the fact that there was this prestige that was there. But it's not the same now. It's been so long. Honestly, it's like when people talk about the Knicks and Madison Square Garden, and it's like, oh, well, the world's most famous arena. They haven't won a title since the early 70s. The Knicks have not won a title in, carry the one, add the two, 53 years. Seriously, 1973 was the last time they won an NBA title, right? 73. There's over 50 years since the Knicks have won a title. That makes the Cowboys Super Bowl drought seem like nothing, but I'm just saying, we talk about these organizations, a lot of times it's because they're in big markets. I mean, that's really what it is. They're in big markets in big cities where there is a level of expectation and the fans expect them to win. But like, the Dallas Cowboys are nothing but drama every single year. The juice ain't worth the squeeze. Like, I bet you anything, if you had a conversation with Ben Johnson privately and said, hey, Cowboys job, Bears job, you have both open, what do you take? I bet you, honestly, privately, off the record, he tells you Bears job. And look, Dallas has talent offensively, at least, and they did have a solid draft. They addressed needs on defense. They'll probably be better there. And I hate to say it, but it is true. But then every year, God, we had this past season. Everybody was like, "Oh, the Cowboys! Oh, they're a Super Bowl, you know, they're a sleeper to win the Super." And it's just like every year we do this, and every year this team, as Doc Walker would say, throws up all over themselves every year. And it's just the same thing. This whole idea that George Pickens was just going to sign the franchise tender and it's all going to be fine. When is it ever fine in Dallas? Ever. It never is. There is always something. Jerry Jones would rather be at the top of the news cycle than actually be at the top of the standings. He cares more about being in the conversation than being in the win column. Do not tell me otherwise.
Don't you hope he lives forever?
Yes, I hope he lives to 150 and does whatever blood spinning and whatever weird stuff billionaires are doing now. Sure, do it all. Run the Cowboys.
Put his brain in a robot for all I care.
I would love that. If Jerry Jones bonded his brain with AI, but the problem is then he might make more logical decisions, so that's the only issue.
No,
so
he
we
wouldn't.
Don't want the AI bonding.
I don't think that's going to be the case.
No, it doesn't matter whether I got a robot that's attached to me. I am still going to make sure the Dallas Cowboys are a great brand, and we're going to do things my way. Good. I want it forever. I want Jerry Jones forever in charge of that team. I hope he lives to 150. It's just, George Pickens isn't going to last. He's going to last there. Here's the thing. Insanely talented, and you could have a duo the way that they've got in Cincinnati. Think about it, really. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens, talent-wise alone, rivals Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins in Cincinnati. That is damn close. Really close, but they'll never be able to put that together. One, because it's expensive. Two, because George Pickens is so insanely volatile. So volatile. But man, is he talented. Ugh. Commanders have the least drama in the division. I love it. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Sometimes resume outweighs potential, and you can have all the draft picks in the world, right? And I've said, like, it, the talent development still matters, because if they don't pan out, who cares? Who cares if you had 10 draft picks and three were in the first round? If they all suck, if they all are bust, then who cares? But it also goes the other way around. Like, there's not one way to build a team. And if you look at the Commanders and not having a second-round pick and not having a fourth-round pick, that trade's done now. The Laremy Tunsil trade is officially done. Adam Peters gave up a second, a third, a fourth, and a seventh, essentially, to get Tunsil over that two-year window from Houston. Out of that, they get a wide receiver in Jalen Noel. They get Jalen, three Jalens, by the way. The Houston Texans drafted three Jalens, all spelled J-A-Y, as part of that trade with the Commanders. Jalen Noel, whatever. Jalen Smith, Jalen Reed, a corner, a safety, a wide receiver. They get another offensive lineman. They get a defensive lineman. They get some solid players that may pan out. None of them are Laremy Tunsil. I mean, so when we look at that and go, well, they didn't have a second-round pick and they had needs and they could have used a corner. Yeah, they could have. They also really needed a left tackle. Left tackle is right up there with edge rusher, as it's probably 1A, 1B in terms of most important positions in football. Quarterback is first, and then it's the positions that get near the quarterback or involved with the quarterback in some way after that that are the most important. Edge rusher gets after the other quarterback. Left tackle protects the blind side of 95% of the quarterbacks, unless they're left-handed, then it's right tackle, but you get the idea. I mean, you got a five-time Pro Bowler. You got a guy there that can hopefully mentor Josh Connerly and help him grow as an offensive lineman. You get a franchise cornerstone now, because Laremy Tunsil earned a long-term deal again. He's one of the best left tackles in the NFL. Everything the Commanders could have asked for in that trade worked out. Not every trade is going to work out. Marshawn Lattimore didn't work out, and we know it. And that this is sometimes just how this stuff goes. It doesn't excuse trades that don't work. It doesn't excuse what happens when you give up assets and you could use them. But left tackle is about as important as it gets. They've got quarterback. They've got left tackle. They've got two of the most important positions solidified in the NFL right now if you're the Commanders. That's a big deal. That is a really important step when you're rebuilding a team. Now, keep in mind, too, Commanders did get a fourth-round pick back, and that was Jalen Lane. Another Jalen, by the way. Four total Jalens involved in this Laremy Tunsil trade. That's a lot of Jalens. All J-A-Y. It's all Jalen Rose's fault. Ever since him. Now everybody has the name, and everybody wants to copy. Anyway, doesn't matter. But, you know, Jalen Lane is a fourth-round pick. Look, he's probably not going to be... He's going to get some targets during the season, but he's a return guy. He's a can be a gadget guy. He's a speed guy. He's somebody that now is going to fall down a little bit on the depth chart, but you know that you can use him as a punt returner and as a kick returner, and there's going to be value from him as a fourth-round pick in terms of what his role is, right? So much of this is, like, Deebo Samuel for a fifth-round pick as a number one receiver did not live up to expectations, but he wasn't brought in to be a number one receiver for this team. The problem was is they just... They needed somebody to step into that role with essentially no Terry McLaurin the entire season. But if you had Deebo Samuel in the role that he was supposed to play for this team, that's a different story. They would have been in a much better position. So Jalen Lane now, as somebody that you get as part of the Laremy Tunsil trade, if he's one of the better returners in the NFL this year, gets some opportunities, a couple of touchdowns on the season, you know, as a slot guy or maybe some end-around, some trick plays, whatever the case is, there's value there. If anybody thinks Jalen Lane's going to turn into more of that, I think those are all just bonus expectations after that. They're not looking at him as a number two receiver on this team. You've got that in potentially Antonio Williams and maybe Brandon Ayuk. But again, let's not put a lot of expectations on Brandon Ayuk. The guy hasn't played football. It'll be like 2 years by the time he's back, if he's on this team. So you kind of put Jalen Lane down the depth chart a little bit. You got Luke McCaffrey as a returner, but starting to come on as a wide receiver and starting to show that. And look, this offense may not be an offense that has as many holes as some people still seem to think that there is. Now, number two receiver is up in the air, right? And that may be a rotating door for a little while, especially at the beginning. And even if it's Brandon Ayuk, again, what does he look like after having not played football in over 18 months at this point now, right? So let's not sit here and think he's going to be the savior at that spot, but there could be value there if he is there. Offensive line, you kind of started to figure out what that looked like. They kind of figured out everybody's role as the season went on, but we're still dealing with a center question. And that's a massive question. Don't get me wrong. It is a big question as to what the center position is going to look like for this team. But having left tackle solidified, it just shows you why sometimes you've got to be willing to give up on draft picks to get somebody that is a known commodity and a known talent in that sport, whether it's the NFL, it's the NBA. I mean, you see this all the time. Hoarding draft picks can be great, but you can try to mitigate all the risk you want. You can try to eliminate every little bit of risk that's possible and still get it wrong sometimes, because sometimes a player just doesn't care as much as you think they might care. They could have all the talent in the world, but they get to the pros and they're like, it's cool enough. I mean, there's that famous, clip of Sua Cravens just wanting to get out of camp and just never really enjoying football. And that's just one. There's tons of guys that are like that. That happens. Sometimes giving up those assets, giving up a couple of picks for a player that you know can perform at a high level at the NFL level, that's more important. It's way more important. Again, it's why the Rams have done F them picks. It's when your position is in, when your team is in different positions that you have to kind of evaluate what the balance is, right? How much are you going to lean to the draft versus free agency versus trades? And it all kind of just, it's fluctuating. It's just moving back and forth in terms of where the balance actually is. As much as I would have loved to see this team trade back and get in the second round, that was only if Sonny Styles was off the board. Even then, you could have had Caleb Downs. So it's like there was going to be somebody there at 7. And that was really the good spot about where the Commanders were sitting there at 7, is you had multiple opportunities. Even if the board got weird, which it did, you still had the potential of a couple of guys that were going to be high on their board, and they end up getting Sonny Styles, and they miss out on a second-round pick, fine. But who knows what type of move they can make. Maybe they can get themselves a couple of extra picks next year in a draft that's going to be much more loaded. A lot more loaded. But this Laremy Tunsil trade is now officially done. And yes, one or two guys from from Houston could turn out to be great players, but you get yourself a left tackle. And we are now going to finally see that solidified for an organization, by the way, that's had quite a few good left tackles. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Remember back when we had KD to DC the first time around? Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen again, but it has not worked out in Houston just like it didn't work out in Phoenix, and it hasn't worked for Kevin Durant in a lot of different places. Nick Ashew on the Fan. But there is at least some whispers that are starting to get just a little bit louder right now about the Wizards trading for Kevin Durant this offseason. Here's what I will say right now. Do not give up any young players for him. And you're going to have to give up some. But if we think that Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, and Trae Young is going to be a long-term fix for this team, do not fall into that trap.
You trade Anthony Davis for him?
I would trade Anthony Davis for Kevin Durant, and that's it. But like, what's going to have to happen is if you were to make the trade with the Rockets, they're going to want picks. They're going to want... And I don't even know what Kevin Durant's... I just don't know what his value is right now on the trade market at this point. Even if it's like one first round pick and a young guy, I'm not doing that. And the reason is because Kevin Durant may have 2 years left. Anthony Davis is going to be hurt, and he's going to be 36 when his contract is up. I don't even think he's going to be around. He also doesn't want to be here. Trae Young, I wouldn't sign him to an extension. Like, what they've done right now, these are guys maybe for the short term, but there is not a long-term success plan with any of those three. If they were to be a part of this roster and people are trying to throw around like Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Trae Young all together. What? Seriously. Okay, so I know this is going to make people upset. I really don't give a damn. Where, when Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, or Trae Young have been the guy, and this includes Kevin Durant in Golden State, all right? When have they truly been the guy that puts a team on their back and carries them to success?
Trae Young looked good with the Hawks in the bubble.
And that's it.
I'm just saying he looked good with the Hawks in the bubble.
And that was...
like 2020 or whatever.
5 years ago, yeah. 6 years ago still at this point. Anthony Davis can't stay healthy. Kevin Durant, when he was in Golden State, remember, now did Steph Curry take a little bit of a step back and allow Kevin Durant to do... Yes, but you don't think that made Kevin Durant better and that team had already won championships. So it's not like Kevin Durant went there and turned them into a title contender. The Warriors won titles before he got there. Did he win finals MVP? Sure. Was he good? Of course he was. Kevin Durant is one of the all-time great scorers this NBA has ever seen. But he tried to be the guy in Brooklyn. How'd that work out? He tried to be the guy in Phoenix. How'd that work out? How's that going on in Houston right now? It does not work. Now, I have always made the joke, going all the way back, that Kevin Durant finishing his career in Washington could be a possibility and could make sense. But not if you're giving up assets and trying to make a trade that's like to win now, right? Like thinking that Kevin Durant this late in his career is going to be the guy that's going to take the Wizards from where they were right now. Let's trade a bunch of young assets and let's try to go with Anthony Davis and Trae Young and Kevin Durant. Don't fall into that temptation. For the love of God, that's Knicks and that's Lakers. That's not Thunder. Follow the Thunder and Spurs model. Please do not give in to this temptation if you're the Wizards. Don't do it. If Durant was a free agent, fine. If it's Anthony Davis for Durant, straight up, and I have to look at the contracts, they should match enough, fine. But if it's like, here's three young guys and a draft pick for Kevin Durant, do not do it, please. And this is coming from the Ringer. This is now getting kind of, and again, these are whispers, and this is just like, hey, maybe it would, because the Wizards now have an enticing young team that Kevin Durant's already on an enticing young team in Houston. When Durant is out of the lineup, that game, they're all under 25 in the starting lineup. The Rockets are already a young team. How's that working out? Don't do it. Please do not fall into this trap if you are the Wizards of the it's the cheap calories, right? No. This isn't a don't microwave your dinner. Make a real meal. Slow cook this thing, all right? This is a brisket, low and slow. It's so much better that way. It works so much better. The Wizards have done so many smart things up until this point with this rebuild. Don't ruin it with some stupid temptation of an injury-plagued Kevin Durant. Even if they, and I don't even think they could make it work this way. Also, if you're the Rockets, what's the trade that actually works for them? Like, really, that's the other issue with this. You'd have to give up a bunch. If I'm the Rockets, you're going to try to pry as much young talent away as you can and just go back to being a young team in Houston. More than anything, do I think that this is mostly BS and people throwing stuff against the wall? Yes. But I'm seeing it everywhere, and it's just one of those things where I just watch it and go, no. I don't care if they get the number one overall pick, and I don't care if A.J. Abanza's there in Washington. Don't go and try to make a big three and get Kevin Durant. I mean, don't fall into that trap at all. Don't do it. Kevin Durant is an all-time great player. We are past the point now. Trading for guys in their late 30s in the NBA never works out. It just doesn't. It's that impatient way of building a team, and the Wizards have been so patient. Finish the drive, all right? Finish this thing. Don't come up short. Finish it the way you've been doing it. It will work out better. Please. Nick Ashew on the Fan.